May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. 671.
Thank you. I please Almighty God to bless the reading of his word to the profit of our souls this evening. Let us turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians and reading chapter 2. Chapter 2 in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preach peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. May God instruct us and bless his word to us. and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed, eternal, gracious and merciful Lord God, we're thankful to know that as we approach unto the majesty on high tonight, we have a great and glorious high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we believe takes our prayers and presents them unto his Father and our Father, so that we are accepted in the Beloved. And we pray, therefore, gracious God, that we may know what it is, even this evening, to be blessed with that access at the throne of grace, at the mercy seat. Lord, we cannot claim any virtue ourselves. We cannot claim any goodness in and of ourselves. But we would come claiming the merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray for thy blessing, for thy presence to be known and felt amongst us here this evening as we come and gathered for worship. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that as we are wonderfully blessed with this privilege, that we may be able to concentrate on the great things of God. Lord, those things which concern our eternal state. We pray, Lord, that our minds may therefore be kept and set upon things above and not on things of the earth. Lord, we pray then earnestly for thy Holy Spirit to come upon us individually and collectively, so that it may be true of each one of us that we are true worshippers who worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity given to us of being able to assemble tonight. And we pray, Lord, that therefore thou wilt be gracious to us and send forth the blessing. Grant, Lord, thy Holy Spirit may enter into our very hearts and souls, so, Lord, there may be that which is done in us which we cannot do for ourselves. And, Lord, we're thankful to believe we come to the eternal God. We come to that one who created the universe and everything within it, and that one who has created us individually. And so, Lord, we come tonight, and may we truly be found amongst those who bow the knee to thee in the attitude of worship. Lord, let us not remain hard-hearted. Let us not remain rebellious. For, Lord, we believe our hearts are open before the Almighty God, so that nothing is hidden. Lord, there's nothing that is secret to our God. We realize it may be to others who may not perceive that which is within us. But Lord, we pray tonight thou wilt condescend to come and bless us indeed. Lord, we think of that little prayer spoken by thy servant Jabez so many years ago, when his plea was, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." And Lord, we pray tonight that may be our real desire. And Lord, let it not be a pseudo desire. Let us not fool ourselves, Lord. But, oh Lord, may we have an open heart to receive thy word. And Lord, we know it is only by thy glorious grace that this is so. But Lord, thou hast told us that thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things. And so, Lord, we come tonight inquiring that the great God will condescend in wonderful love and mercy to remember each one of us with that mercy, with that favour that thou dost bear unto thy people, and therefore to come and visit our souls with thy salvation. Lord, help us to realize in some measure the value of our souls. Help us, Lord, to consider eternity is before us. Help us, Lord, to be concerned where we shall spend eternity. Deliver us, O Lord, from being concerned about the trivialities of this life. Lord, we know we have to work to earn our living. But Lord, we pray that our work may not be our God. We pray, Lord, our education may not be our God. We pray, Lord, our homes may not be our God. And Lord, whatever else there is in our lives that may perhaps consume our thoughts and time, we pray, Lord, they may not be our God. And we pray, therefore, that we may be amongst the true worshippers who are blessed by thyself. Lord, we are so grateful that we are privileged to gather together once again. And Lord, for every one of us, we realize that must be one less occasion when we shall be found in the attitude of worship on this earth. And so we pray, Lord, that we may each be prepared for our eternal home. And Lord, it may not be a dismal consideration, but Lord, it may be a wonderful prospect. Lord, to look forward when we should have finished our pilgrimage upon this earth. And we pray, Lord, it may be so, that Lord, may this earth truly not be our home and not be our rest. May we be as true pilgrims passing through to our celestial home. And Lord, we pray then earnestly for the work of thy Holy Spirit to powerfully touch and influence our hearts. And to this end, gracious God, we do pray that thou would look upon us and that we may look up and we by faith may behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Lord, may we behold that Lamb of God and believe he takes away all our sin. Gracious God, do come then tonight and visit our souls. Let it not be a time of fruitlessness, a time of barrenness, a time when we leave this place tonight in the same way that we entered it. Lord, unstop deaf ears. Open blind eyes. We know, Lord, there is nothing that is too hard for our God. And we pray, Lord, for that living faith to come to thee in this way, seeking thou wilt do for us those great things of spiritual nature which we can't do for ourselves. And then, Lord, grant that we may be able to come and to praise thy name, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Lord, do enable us to recognize that every blessing we receive, naturally and spiritually, flows from the good hand of our God. And Lord, help us then to praise thee for it. Lord, thou art so worthy. Lord, we fail so miserably in these things. Oh Lord, how selfish we are. But Lord, we pray thou would give us that grace to earnestly desire to seek thy face and to rejoice in thy work. And we pray, Lord, every one of us may observe thy work in our souls. And Lord, if there is no concern, grant, Lord, there may be a gracious, wonderful concern brought about by the Holy Spirit so that we may be found seeking to have the evidence that we are right with God. So, Lord, we may be able to say very humbly and yet very truthfully, in answer to that great question, is it well with my soul? To be able to say, it is well. We bless thee, Lord, tonight for the Bible. We bless thee for the wonderful truths it contains. We bless thee, Lord, for the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians and for that part that we've read tonight. We pray, Lord, that the Word of God may be made a true blessing to our eternal souls. Lord, let us not just read it casually as some history book, but Lord, may we read it prayerfully as the Word of God. And Lord, we are dependent upon thy Spirit to grant this to us. But Lord, we do need it, and we would pray for it, and we would seek that through it our souls may be blessed and thy great and glorious name lifted up and honoured and glorified. Lord, may we all be concerned to be found serving thee. May we all be found concerned to do thy will. May it be, Lord, a great concern with us that we may be those who are true followers of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever stumbling blocks there may be, do remove them, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take them out of the way. Lord, the devil puts them there sometimes fast and furious. But Lord, we pray for that grace to observe the work of the evil one. And Lord, to be able to resist the devil, that he may flee from us. Oh Lord, let us not be captivated by him. Let us not be captivated, Lord, as he might attract us to the vain things of time. Let us not be captivated, Lord, as he may try to deceive us. Lord, may we see through all his cunning devices. And may we be found looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh Lord, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of our Father in heaven. And Lord, we are commanded to consider him. Oh, blessed God, may that be so in our lives. Consider what the Saviour has done. Consider his finished work. Consider that now he's in glory interceding for us, and that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And to believe that if he's gone to prepare a place for us, he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is there, we shall be also. Oh Lord God, we come again praying for this church and congregation, Lord, in all their varied needs. Lord, we know that everyone is different, everyone is individual, but we do pray, Lord, that everyone may be found at last with their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, that may be each one's true and great continual concern to be right with God. Lord, let none of us be ashamed of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Indeed, as the hymn writer said, ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. Oh, we pray, Lord, then for reality in our religion. Deliver us, Lord, from that which is just on the surface, that which is superficial, that which is not of God. Grant, Lord, that we may be taken up with the things of God. And so, Lord, bless this people indeed. Bless the deacons, Lord, on whose shoulders the responsibility of directing the church and people here rests. Grant them, Lord, much grace, much spiritual understanding, and grant them, Lord, the clear direction of Almighty God in everything. And Lord, stand by them and encourage them as they labour on. We pray for the church, Lord. Grant them to dwell together in love and unity, praying for each other. We pray for the congregation, Lord, that would move mightily amongst them. And Lord, we pray that thy work may appear. We pray, Lord, that many may be able to come and testify of what thou hast done for their souls, so that the church of God may be strengthened and encouraged, and above all things, our great God honoured and glorified. Oh Lord, may this be a real concern in many hearts. And Lord, not just rest in a concern, but Lord, we know thy word tells us that faith without works is dead. We pray, Lord, to be delivered then from, as it were, a one-sided religion. And remember, Lord, may they each remember and be caused to be concerned. Recognize that great truth, those that honour me, I will honour, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Oh, Lord God, let us not despise thee. Lord, we know the old devil would encourage us in this way. We know the old devil, Lord, would try and stop us testifying of thy grace and thy love. But Lord, may we recognize and realize he is a vanquished foe. And so, Lord, we think of the words of the apostle when he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And so, Lord, be with this people, we earnestly pray. And then, Lord, we again would not forget our nation. Oh, Lord, in these dark days, Lord, we see the chaos which exists. And Lord, we can only but believe it is because how we have departed from thee. And Lord, we've ignored thy word. And Lord, we pass laws contrary to thy word. But Lord, we're thankful that the Lord is on the throne still. And Lord, do come again and bless our nation, that many may be turned unto thee, that many people may come and seek unto the true God. We pray, Lord, for this a place, Lord, of Swaversey. Lord, the many houses which exist around this chapel, the many people who walk and drive past this place, perhaps virtually every day. Oh, Lord, do grant that thy Holy Spirit may strike a dart into their hearts, that they may consider their state before a holy God. And, Lord, be found desiring to seek the Saviour and come here to worship. Lord, grant there may be a true burden of prayer amongst the church and congregation here for this to come to pass. Oh Lord, we pray then that thou wilt come down and grant the blessing. And now, Lord, we commend ourselves to thee. Oh, do come, Lord, and bless us. Draw us to thee, Lord. We can't do ourselves. But Lord, we know if thou dost draw us, there will be that wonderful blessing and that wonderful success and that wonderful favour. So Lord, we come tonight praying thou wilt remember us each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit us with thy salvation. We ask it all with the forgiveness of every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1042. I need not blush to own that he on whom my hope of heaven is built was crucified on yonder tree, since 'tis his blood that cancels guilt. 1042. Thank you.
God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians chapter 2 and we'll read the first seven verses. You may think it's rather a long text. The reality is it's actually two sentences. And the first one ends at the end of verse 3, which is, we might think, rather negative. And then from verse 4, we see the wonderful blessing and favour of God. So from verse 1 to verse 7, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." It will be a wonderful and a great blessing if this statement is true of us. And let us be quite clear, it needs to be true of all of us. We need to know the wonderful, blessed, sovereign work of God in our very souls. It's not something which you and I can just read and pass by. The apostle didn't just write this to the Ephesians of something of no consequence. He wrote indeed to the church, the saints which were at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So therefore, not only was it written for the Ephesians, it's written for the faithful in Christ Jesus. And what a blessing tonight, if you and I can find ourselves numbered amongst the faithful that are in Christ Jesus. And if we can't, may we have an earnest cry, an earnest prayer, that we might be able to. Because without it, we shall perish in our sins. The word of God is very separating There are no grey areas in the truth of God. And we shall be thankful for it, because the word of God then doesn't leave us in any doubt as to the truth with regard to the condition of our souls. And we live, sadly, in a pretty lukewarm and cold day in the spiritual sense, when people are little concerned about the life of God in their soul. And sometimes they carry on week by week, month by month, year by year, pretending to be Christians, and yet without the reality of the work of God in their soul. And my friends, I've seen people like that. I've seen people who have thought they're on the way to glory. In actual fact, they're on the way to hell. They may be able to quote scripture. They may be able to quote hymns. They may be able to pray in a form. They may be able to do many things which perhaps appear to characterize them as a Christian. But they lack. The great lack is that they remain still spiritually dead. And so as we have these words here to encourage us tonight, because it's spoken like this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And we know in this first verse the three words hath he quickened are in parenthesis, which means that they were added by the translators. But of course, if we read down to the fifth verse, we see the truth there. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. So the translators put these words in to help us to understand the great truth of Scripture. So as we think of such words, and you hath he quickened, that means being made spiritually alive. Tonight, can we say, by the grace of God, we have been made spiritually alive. We're here tonight to hear the gospel. We're here tonight to be encouraged, or to be alerted, or to be corrected with regard to our spiritual state. We haven't come here tonight, I hope not anyway, just because it happens to be Sunday evening and it's something to do. May we have come because we're on the stretch after God. And the things of God are very important to us. They're not something which are insignificant. They are vitally important to us because it concerns our eternal state. You know what a blessing it is if we are ever concerned about our eternal state. Now, I may have told you before when I preached here, I'll tell you again. There was a very blessed Scottish minister, Robert Murray McShane, who preached in Dundee back in the early 1800s. He died when he was 29. His ministry was wonderfully blessed. And he was so concerned about the people flocking to hear him in that church in Dundee that he had placed outside the doors of the church a large stone, and on that stone was engraved one word, and that word was eternity. Eternity. Well, surely that word, it should have affected the people as they entered into that church to worship. They weren't worshipping for time. They were worshipping for eternity. And that's the same with us tonight. We're not worshipping here for time things. We're worshipping here for eternal things. And so what a blessing it is if you and I can recognise what the apostle writes here to the Ephesians, to the encouragement of our souls. He says, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that means unfeeling in a spiritual way. We know, I'm sure, we'll understand what a dead person is like. A dead person is oblivious to anything which goes on around. Absolutely no knowledge. And that's the state of all those who are not born again of the Spirit of God. They are spiritually dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Won't matter what they might pretend to be. The fact is that they are dead. My friends, you and I must be born again. You and I must become to that place where we are spiritually alive and not spiritually dead. And then the apostle therefore gives us some indication of what this means and the evidence there is for us to understand and to be able to perceive that we are amongst those who have been made spiritually alive. And so just listen carefully tonight as these words are here, where he says then, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. The statement here is in time past. So have we and a time past when that was how we were? Or have we not a time past? Are we still in that condition? Are we still walking according to the course of this world? The reality is, this is between our souls and God. Yes, we don't have to impress people. We have to have a good answer before God. God looks at your heart and my heart. I can't look at your heart, you can't look at mine. But God can, and God does. And therefore, what a blessing it is to have this wonderful evidence. There is in our lives a time past. And that means there's been a change. A change. A spiritual change. A time when the Lord God came to us and made us spiritually alive. A change. And the change is so clear, it's like this. The difference between darkness and light. When we are spiritually dead, we are in darkness. When we're spiritually alive, we're in the light. Naturally, we understand that, don't we? The difference between darkness and light. And it's the same with regard to our spiritual state. And so the apostle tells us here, there was this time past when we did walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's following the advice, the subtlety, the deceit of Satan. Oh, friends, pray for grace. You won't give him any room. The Spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's a very straight word, isn't it? To think that you and I perhaps are walking disobediently before our God. Just ponder that word. You see, it's there for a purpose. No word in the Word of God is of no significance. And so are we blessed with a time past when we were disobedient, but now by the grace of God we are obedient children. Obedient children following the word of God, following the gracious commands of God. My friends, they're not grievous. Don't think that they're grievous. My friends, it's a pleasure, it's a blessing to walk in God's commands. And he goes on to tell us, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. All of us, those who have been made spiritually alive and those who as yet have not. We all have all had our conversation in times past. And then he spells it out a little, just so that we have an understanding of what it means. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That means very simply seeking after the things of this world. Seeking after those things which do not profit. Now, we all perhaps find that we fail. But what a blessing if we realize the relevance of such words as this, and to find in our inner man, in our very heart, the desire to not be found walking after these things, which are not God-honoring. They don't bring glory to God, and let us never forget our lives on this earth are not for our glory and not for our self-gratification. It's not to exalt ourselves. Our life should be to do the will of God. Whatever that might be, don't rebel. Don't turn your back on the things of God. Don't think, well, that's for the person next to me, or the person behind me, or the person in front of me. Oh, friends, take the word of God to ourselves. Personally, that's what the apostle directs us in here. It's not for just some. It's directed to those who are quickened, who have the evidence of it. And may we therefore tonight find that we are the possessors of it, because by his grace there has been that change. And it is only of grace, because naturally we go after the poor things of the world. We love the world naturally. What a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit comes and convinces us of the error of our ways. And I heard not so long ago a person who had been brought up to go to chapel and for a good number of years, and then he wandered away and gone into the world. And he said this: the problem is, I love the world. Well, he was being honest. Many people perhaps wouldn't be prepared to admit that. And what a good thing if you and I analyse our minds and our hearts to see whether we are loving the world. And that means being conformable to the world, and not desiring to be separated from it, and not concerned as to whether we are those who are quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God, but satisfied to continue being with this place that our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Well, all of us stand before God, and we'll have to answer before God whether it is in our lives a time past, or whether we don't know any difference. The word goes on, and this is the glorious gospel. But God. Years ago, I did an analysis. Before we had things like computers, etc., to trace out how many times there were but God. And I think if I remember rightly, there were 19 times when but God occurs in the Word of God. And what a wonderful thing it is to remember this great and glorious truth. But there's one other very interesting and significant consideration which the Apostle tells us when he wrote to the Philippians. Having recorded that there were all those but gods, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 we read this: "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's a wonderful word, isn't it? To realize that if we are truly concerned about our soul's condition, to have that humble hope that this God is our God, this God is my God, my God shall supply. No doubt about it. My God shall supply all our needs, naturally and spiritually. And so we have this statement here in this fourth verse: "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Having just looked at those previous verses, perhaps come to the consideration that they described us pretty accurately. We couldn't say that we were any better than that description. And yet, what a blessed truth it is to come to such words to encourage us. That this God that you and I must deal with is rich in mercy. And it is because of his great love wherewith he loved us. It is an amazing truth, isn't it? It's an amazing word. And what encouragement it should bring to us. If the Holy Spirit has blessed us with the evidence of seeking those things which are above and not those things which are on the earth, to believe that this great God, who is rich in mercy for his great love toward wherewith he loved us, and that us includes me, and that us includes you. Oh, rejoice in the goodness of God. Bless God for it. If he's looked down upon you and blessed you with the evidence of spiritual life, if that is so, it's because of his mercy. And it's because of his great love. See how the apostle speaks of it, great love. He knew what it was in his life. He knew how God had been merciful to him. He knew he'd walked opposite to God, persecuting the church of God, doing things contrary to the way of God. Yet he is able now to come and declare that the truth is this: who is rich in mercy. Well, when you and I feel condemned under the mighty hand of God, condemned because of all our sins, to realize that we deal with such a God, rich in mercy. Isn't that good news? Is it good news to you tonight? Do you praise God for a God who is rich in mercy? And do you praise God for a God who has loved you with an everlasting love and with loving kindness has drawn you? You know, there's a great evidence there of the life of God in our souls when we know that love of God drawing us to himself. Naturally, we are not drawn. Naturally, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is not attractive to us. And just go on to say, that following that through, therefore, if you are faced with death and faced with heaven and hell, You may be in a situation where, if you're honest, you say, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. You're in a position in no man's land, as it were. You don't want either. Well, what a blessing it is then when the Holy Spirit draws us by his love to realize his mercy toward us. Mercy is welcome news to those who guilty stand. My friends, bless God, when you stand before God guilty, guilty. You can't say, well, I'm a great person, well, I might have done a few sins. No, you won't look around, you won't count small sins. You'll recognize you're guilty before a holy God. And you need a great salvation. When here we have set before us a great Saviour. Here we have great mercy. And here we have great love. What a blessing it is then to realize this truth today. And oh, may the Holy Spirit then come upon us and draw us to realize where we are on the way perhaps to hell, or have been on the way to hell. And the Lord has looked upon us in love to our soul and has come and drawn us by his love to himself. What a mercy that is. And you will know whether that's been so in your life, because it's not something which is, as it were, is hidden. When the Holy Spirit works, my friend, in our hearts, there is the evidence of it. And it's the evidence like this: life and death, light and darkness. It's a blessed evidence. And don't deny it. Some people will try and pretend they don't know what God has done for them. You see, remember, the devil will ever try and deceive you. And he'll question the work of God in your heart. He'll question whether it's real. Well, the devil's always been a liar. Don't believe him. If the Holy Spirit has touched your heart with just a little of his love, it will have made an effect. It would have been a change. Everyone born by the Spirit is a changed person. There is a newness of life. They're not what they were. They're not what they perhaps would be. But nonetheless, they have the evidence of God's gracious and glorious work. So what a mercy tonight if you and I have the evidence of this mercy. Rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And the apostle then spells it out a little bit further for us to be encouraged by this great truth. He says, even when we were dead in sins. That means when we were helpless. Helpless. Dead in sins. No life. Helpless. What are we dependent upon? The grace of God. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Just ponder that. We're not alone. We're not alone. We're made spiritually alive through Christ's death. We're united to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then he speaks these wonderful words just to confirm to us it's not of ourselves. By grace are ye saved. The free, unmerited favour of God. Well, I hope we can all join with John Newton and say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was dead. I once was lost. But now I'm found. His grace has set me free. Nothing less than that. Bless God for sovereign grace. That grace which came to us unworthily. We never deserved it, but it was given. Oh, and this grace, you see, brings to us the greatest gift of all things, the gift of eternal life. Eternal life, so that we are amongst those who are quickened, even when we were dead in sins. And so, has there been a time in our lives when we were spiritually dead and the Holy Spirit brought into our lives light and life? Oh, friends, be concerned about it. And if you have the evidence of it, do praise God. Do bless Him for it. Because it's all of His grace, it's all of His unmerited favour that you and I are found in such a glorious and such a wonderful position. Because if we are possessors of this love, if we are possessors of this grace, if the light has shone into our hearts, then we have a good prospect of an eternal home in glory with a Saviour. And so even when we were dead, the apostle really labours this point. It's important, though, to labour it so that we're very clear in our lives. There is the time of death, that state in which we were born in nature, dead in trespasses and sins, as the apostle says, and then brought to that time of spiritual life because of God's mercy toward us. Mercy is welcome news to those who guilty stand. And this will be the effect. You will stand amazed at His mercy. You will bless God for His great love toward you. You will desire to praise and honour Him for what He has done for you. For such an unworthy sinner of the earth, perhaps one who has sinned against light and knowledge, perhaps one who has gone wildly on their own career, set in enjoying themselves in the things of time, and then to recognise that this God, but God, who is rich in mercy, has stopped you in your mad career, careering headlong to a lost eternity. But because of God's love, He's caused you to stop and consider. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together. Raised us up, united to Christ together. You see, if we are in Christ, if we are born again by the Spirit, we are eternally blessed. And there's no separation. There's no separation. No, it is wonderful favour and wonderful blessing to be privileged with this favour. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, as he came to the end of that 8th chapter, he tells us, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so if the blessed Spirit has shown you a little of Christ's love towards you, that is an eternal blessing. And there will be no separation. Whatever the devil tries to do, no separation from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When the devil comes and tries to tempt you, quote scripture to him. Quote scripture back. Let him not gain the victory. He'll try to. Remember what the Saviour did when he was tempting the devil for all those days. What did he do? He answered the devil by scripture. You answer the devil by scripture when he tries to overturn the work of God. He will do. He will do. Don't give him any room. Bless God for his work in your heart. Bless God for the work of the Holy Spirit, which is wrought in you. And don't deny it. Praise God for it. Bless God for it. It's the greatest blessing you and I can ever have. It totally outweighs everything in this vain world, because it is an eternal blessing. And so hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The blessing of salvation is this: union with Christ. Oh, and the apostle knew how precious it was. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and being made conformable unto his death. Oh, what a blessing it is then to have a desire like the apostle had. He knew how wonderful it was, how blessed it was. It is an eternal blessing. It may perhaps fade in the feeling, but it won't fade in the truth, because the Word of God tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Yes, he is the same. He does not change. And you and I today can rest upon his finished work. And so as we consider this great blessing, let us not underestimate the cost of our salvation. It's easy to do so. But friends, as I spoke on that 12th chapter of to the Ephesians, where the apostle says, consider him. Consider him. Meditate upon his great salvation. Meditate upon the cost of your salvation. It cost the Lord of life and glory his life. And he was willing to give his life, that you and I might have life, so that we might be able to say, yes, by his grace, I have been quickened. I have been made alive. It's through his death. It's through his sufferings. It's through what he did in order to cause me to be one of those whom he has loved with an everlasting love, directing me to himself. He's drawn me to him. There's no greater place to be found than standing before the cross, to give us some true understanding of what our salvation cost Almighty God, to ponder him there when his father hid his face from him, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was done because of his love towards such unworthy sinners. Go to Gethsemane, ponder him there. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, what a blessed example. And my friends, may you and I come alongside and say with all humbleness and all earnestness, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And to recognize what that means in our lives. The Lord Jesus didn't turn back. No, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What a mercy, my friends, for us tonight, if we are blessed with that grace to take up our cross daily and to follow him. The cost of our salvation, because of his great love toward us, loved with an everlasting love. And then he says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. It points out to the great value of this unmerited favour. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We didn't deserve the kindness of God, did we? But you see, he shows it to his people. His loving kindness. Oh, how great it is, isn't it? May you and I rejoice in it. Maybe go home thanking God for it and exclaiming with a hymn writer, yes, he saw me ruined in the fall and yet loved me, notwithstanding all my sins. He loved me. Oh, what a wonder it is to ponder these things and to rejoice in them. And so this whole chapter, the second chapter in Ephesians, is the most wonderful exposition and directing us to do his will. In the 10th verse he says, for we are his workmanship. His workmanship, his grace, his love toward us. It's all of his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, you know, God knows what that means. But may we have cause tonight to praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and to have been able to trace out the blessed work of God in our souls. Oh, it's so important, friends, to know the work of God in our souls, because it concerns our eternal state. We're thankful we have, therefore, the Word of God. We're thankful that we're able to read it. We're thankful we're able to hear the preaching of the gospel. We're thankful the Lord has blessed us with like-minded people to worship together. But the great thing is to have the personal testimony of this blessing in our souls, to be able to say with a humble confidence, and yes, I can say, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, for the glory of God. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £585, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening for the nation with an address by Mr. Chapman. Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning. And God willing, Dr. Christie will preach in the evening and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 925. Peace by his cross as Jesus made, the church's everlasting head, our hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. 925.
Yeah.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forever. Amen.